Welcome to Catholics Across the Aisle, the podcast of the Florida Conference of Catholic Bishops, offering commentary on public policy and civic life. This is Michael Sheedy, Executive Director of the conference. I am very pleased today to be joined by Gary Tester. He is the president of Catholic Charities of Central Florida, based in Orlando, the Diocese of Orlando. Gary's got a great history of work here. He's also been a leader among his peers, the different Catholic Charities agencies here in the province of Miami, the state of Florida. Gary, it's great to have you on today.
Thanks for having me, Michael. A pleasure to join you.
These ministries of charity are very prominent in the church's witness to the world around us, to care for people at the peripheries who are vulnerable. And you're leading Catholic Charities of Central Florida. Perhaps you could just share a little bit about what drew you to this kind of work earlier in your career, really, just how you got interested in these ministries and in concerns for really what we would call maybe human services, you know, meeting people in difficult circumstances.
Sure. Going back a long way, it seems, I remember undergraduate school, I wanted to be a doctor virtually throughout high school and throughout much of my childhood. Being a physician was, I wanted to be a healer, and got into my first year at the University of Toledo and quickly determined that calculus and quantum physics didn't necessarily apply to medicine the way I thought they should. Went and met with the medical advisor, and instead of him agreeing with me, he told me that maybe I wasn't going to be the ideal pre-med student. So I promptly went out and got a degree in psychology, and to this day, I'm still baffled as to how that happened, but paid my way through school at UPS, and my blood was truly brown. I wanted to be UPS my whole life. I could not imagine working at another place. It was a great place to work, and a friend from church, I'm an adult convert, so the church I was going to as a young man, a friend of our family's called and said he worked at the juvenile court in Lucas County, Ohio, as a juvenile court probation officer, and they were hiring. He knew I liked kids, and he knew that I had a degree in psychology. Did I want to consider applying? And I would say from there, the rest is history. I learned to work with kids who had alcohol and other drug issues at the court. And then I went and worked specifically clinically with kids with alcohol and other drug issues for a number of years, and then went into alcohol and other drug prevention, running a community coalition. Then went into residential care, working with kids with multiple problems, and just continued to evolve in my service to children and families, which is where most of my career has been. And we ended up here in Orlando.
Oh, neat. Well, you mentioned being an adult convert, Gary. How did that factor into the opportunity at Catholic Charities, and maybe what drew you to Catholic Charities here in Orlando?
Well, this will probably sound a little strange. So went through a difficult period of my life, a lot of transitions, and a friend suggested that I might find peace going to a Catholic Mass. And I had been to Mass as a young person with a friend in the neighborhood, and had not understood the Mass at all. I thought it was absolutely bizarre, and never wanted to go back. As an adult, I just needed a place to find quiet, and I went and sat in the upstairs seating area of this very large church up in the Toledo area. And I found peace, and I kept going, and made a decision that I wanted to join the Catholic Church. There was just a truth about the practice, and the liturgy was so beautiful. I'd never experienced anything like that in my life. And it felt holy. And so I continued to work in secular agencies serving children and families, certainly Christian mission oriented. Went to work for a Catholic agency at the time I was converting to the Catholic Church. But honestly, Michael, never dreamed that I would be qualified to run a Catholic Charities agency, because in my naivete, I presumed that there would certainly be people who grew up in the Catholic Church who had backgrounds similar to mine who wanted to work at Catholic Charities. And a friend of mine, my best friend, who happens to be the president of the Catholic Foundation for the Diocese of Columbus, called and said, you know, I've been contacted by a couple of search firms. looking for Catholic Charities directors. Are you interested? And I said, no, I won't qualify, Lauren. He goes, what do you mean you won't qualify? I said, he grew up Catholic. I didn't. I said, I didn't grow up Catholic. I don't know the church that well. And he said, trust me, you know the church just fine. I think you should interview. And I said, all right. So we had the search firm interview, and there were jobs in Kalamazoo, Milwaukee, and Orlando. I was particularly drawn to Milwaukee because I'm from the Midwest, grew up in Ohio, and then we had lived in Michigan. And that job didn't move along as quickly. And after the first interview with the search firm, they said the Irish eyes in Orlando would probably smile at a chance to interview me, referring to Bishop Noonan. And the rest is history. I came down, interviewed with the bishop and the chancellor, Carol Bernotti, and was extended an offer to come to Orlando. And the family and I moved down. And next to my wife and my kids, it's the greatest blessing of my life.
You know, Gary, I would say that I'm aware that you have come to know the church even better in your time there. I know that you have been open to formation and discernment, the possibility of being a deacon in the church. How has that process been?
Yeah, it's I appreciate you bringing that up. We actually, my wife and I talked about the diaconate when we were living in the Archdiocese of Detroit. And I started attending classes at Sacred Heart Major Seminary with the anticipation. We'd been to our information night and things and talked to the pastor. And then this job came along, and I started talking to Deacon Dave Gray, who is now deceased, but Deacon Dave was on the bishop's cabinet with me. And we started talking about the diaconate shortly after I got here. And I've been here just over six years. And in June, we will complete 6 years of formation. And good Lord willing, I'll be one of about 18 men who are ordained to the permanent diaconate for the Diocese of Orlando.
Neat, neat. Well, what stands out to you from that process, just out of curiosity?
You know, the ministries here at Catholic Charities, we no longer refer to them, although I am cognizant of the fact that sometimes in public I need to call them services and programs, but they're ministries. We're driven by the Gospel of Matthew 25:31-42. Known as the final judgment, but it's essentially, you know, when did you serve me? You did that when you served the least of these, when you clothed them, you fed them, you gave them drink, you visited them, et cetera. So I find that scripture passage compelling. We have a remarkable opportunity to share the love of Christ with every person who calls or walks through our door. Whether we can legitimately help them or not is irrelevant. If we extend the love of Christ to them in how we interact with them from the start, then we've made a difference. Michael, you know this because you've been here, when you come into our main lobby, we have an image of divine mercy. And the reason we put divine mercy in our lobby is to let you know that we believe it's an act of courage to seek help. The human ego is set up in such a way that most people find it very difficult to say, I can't feed my family the way I need to, or I can't pay my bills the way I need to, or I need help. And so it's courageous to come in the door. And we know that not everyone who comes to us will qualify for the services that we provide, the ministries that we're engaged in. And so if you come in, St. Faustina references the idea that the Lord told her that if they but gaze upon my image, my mercy will begin to flow. And so it's just a profound experience to know that we are truly the extended hands and feet of our Lord with every person who comes into contact with this agency and with all of our coworkers.
Well, that's beautiful. A great connection to the gospel and the call that we have as church, Gary. I know that you've experienced a lot of really challenging moments so far guiding this ministry over the last 6 years. You know, I know that hurricanes were not something that you were probably accustomed to in the Midwest. We've had our share of those. I know you also have had some profound tragedies in the Orlando area. I'm recalling the Pulse shooting to which Catholic Charities really responded well. What are some of the things that just stand out to you that maybe you didn't expect or that you've had to run into here in Orlando?
But it's an interesting question. I think the first thing that registers with me is something I didn't expect is when I interviewed with the bishop, you know, I said, Bishop, what are you expecting from the next director of Catholic Charities of Central Florida? And he said three things. The first made all the sense in the world. I want you to balance the operational budget. of course, that's just sound leadership. Yeah, you know, the bishop is saying, be a good steward. I get that. The second was to reestablish the Catholic identity of Catholic Charities. And that intrigued me because as an adult convert, I chose this faith because of its beauty. And to say that you want me to help people understand that identity and that faith, that was like, woohoo, we can do this. And then the third piece was to harmonize with Catholic parishes, Catholic schools, community agencies, but to truly harmonize so that we're working together. And I always considered myself to be a dot connector. So, you know, right from the interview, there were things that just stuck out at me that this is really has the potential to be a glorious opportunity. You're absolutely correct. I had, first of all, I had no idea about the scope of ministries, what it really truly meant. I mean, I'd looked at the website and understood those things, but it's they say when you meet one Catholic Charities agency, you've met one Catholic Charities agency because we're all similar and yet we're remarkably different. That Pulse tragedy in June of 16 was really something to deal with because it showed not only how ugly man can be, but it showed the resources of the Catholic Church and how very important they are in a crisis. And if I may, I'll give the quick overview of how that all transpired. So the shooting occurred early in a Sunday morning, 1 to 2 a.m., as I recall, and word began to come out in the news on Sunday morning, you know, the 6 a.m., 7 a.m. news, I think it was the 7 a.m. news. There'd been a tragedy. A number of people were reported wounded. A number of people reported dead. Deacon Dave Gray, the gentleman I mentioned before, was in charge of the permanent diaconate. And Deacon Dave headed down out of pastoral concern, headed down to the hospital where most of the victims were, and people were starting to gather, and ascertained very quickly that there was a huge pastoral crisis. And so he put a call out to priests and deacons, not realizing that the vast majority of the people gathering in grief and stunned disbelief were Spanish speakers. And so we had some bilingual priests and deacons, but we had a number of English-speaking priests and deacons who went down to help, and then they quickly realized that they needed translators. So I got the call because we have a number of bilingual staff here at Catholic Charities. We assembled a team of about eight folks who gave up everything they were doing that Sunday morning and immediately went downtown and began to assist our priests and our deacons in restoring some element of pastoral care and concern and calm in a very tumultuous period and setting. From there, our case managers got involved because we were working with folks who needed to come to the United States to claim bodies. Our legal immigration team, we have several attorneys and accredited representatives from the Department of Justice. They were called in because they had to help families make arrangements to get bodies out of the United States and back to the country where the bodies would be buried. We started grief support groups with a parish just south of the crime scene, the Pulse nightclub. And it just showed me how profound the involvement of the Catholic Church became. And it was a really important lesson. And then that was followed by Hurricane, I want to say Matthew, in the fall of 16. And so it was now we see the opportunity to respond in yet a different way. And so we created the Emergency Operations Center for the Diocese of Orlando. And we are the headquarters for the EOC for the diocese. We connect to our counties and the city of Orlando and to the state through our emergency management specialist for Catholic Charities of Florida. And after Hurricane Irma, for the first time in 56 years, Catholic Charities and parishes worked together to distribute emergency food and water following a natural disaster. And from there, we've got the EOC that's run. As you know, Michael, we've gotten involved in really trying to push the envelope for affordable housing. It seems no matter which direction we turn, there's always an opportunity for us to grow a ministry.
Neat that you mentioned affordable housing, Gary. I know that most people are aware that the housing market has really been, seeing an increase in prices. for sure. I know that new construction's been challenged by some of the supply chain challenges, you know, brought about by the pandemic and, you know, low interest rates. I know that in addition to just families, it's also had an effect on the ability of your ministries to provide care to different populations that you, you know, might need to temporarily house and that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a great observation, Michael. When I got here, I learned that we did refugee resettlement. And that's the process. This isn't about taking folks who are undocumented and getting them settled. This is working with refugees who are vetted by the United Nations, the Department of State, the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Defense, the USCCB and their role with the federal government. And then we would take and find them housing and get them set up with jobs and help them to begin to acclimate to the culture of the United States and specifically here in Central Florida. One of the key components of that is housing. We had to close our program, and we were just invited recently to reopen it. We don't have the access to affordable housing that would make us a viable placement agency. And we have folks, we have so many homeless and precariously housed families and individuals here in Central Florida already that we're working diligently to try and help get settled and get them into some type of housing. It has quickly moved that ministry into the forefront for us. It's our primary focus area right now, both the acquisition of and the development of affordable housing and then the managing of affordable housing properties holistically. So that if we run into a resident who's struggling with budget, then we help them with budget. And if they're struggling with food, we help them with food. And if they're struggling with behavioral health issues, we help them with behavioral health issues. It's kind of like the old BSF commercial. You know, we don't make the color blue, we make the color blue bluer. We don't make a lot of things, but we make a lot of things better through our ministry.
That's really neat. I mean, just the connections and the wide range of services that people need, but just to stay, for instance, housed, to stay stable in living arrangements as a family or as individuals, that's really, it's a great gift. I know, Gary, one of the areas that you all have had a role in has been in responding to the scourge of human trafficking. I think of the church in Orlando, again, recalling, I think, Deacon Dave Gray, who had a hand in establishing some of the task force there.
He sure did. Deacon Fred Molina and Deacon Dave Gray took that on. And Deacon Fred actually started the Diocese of Orlando Human Trafficking Task Force and was very active with USCCB and some folks at the national level, as well as here in the state of Florida. It would have been probably 3 years ago now, 2.5 years ago, that we took over coordination of the task force. We are now piloting a training program for youth audiences on human trafficking, helping high school and middle school youth to understand the dangers that they legitimately face through the internet and social media. We have training programs, educational programs for school personnel. We've done presentations with parishes in terms of parish leadership. And interestingly enough, we're getting ready to coordinate a program with another one of our secretariats here in the diocese, Laity and Family Life, Safe Haven Sunday in February, where all of our priests are being asked to speak on the evil of pornography. And the idea is to try and promote the notion that homes and parishes should become safe havens where pornography does not exist, and we fight that evil on a regular basis. And so it's a coordinated effort between our task force, because pornography is such a fundamental element of both labor trafficking and certainly sex trafficking, and then working on that notion of the safe haven with that other secretariat.
Yeah, it's interesting. I know being in Florida, a place with a lot of tourism, you know, you've got Disney World right there in Orlando. We have a number of cities with major sports teams and that host a lot of sporting events, that those kind of seem to be places where trafficking is a real problem. And of course, pornography is, you know, drawing people into some of those kinds of situations, and great to be taking that on head on across the diocese. That's another, I guess, example of good harmonizing that you mentioned, that I know is something that you find attractive and interesting. And I know Bishop Moon really seems to value in trying to just harmonize.
Yeah, we've been very blessed. And in fact, in our housing, in our property management portfolio, We've worked with a number of survivors of human trafficking to help them get housing. And we had one really beautiful story where we were able to reunite a woman who had been trafficked sexually with the children who she had been separated from by the Department of Children and Family Services because she wasn't in a spot, of course, to be a productive mom. When she escaped from the traffickers and began to turn her life around, we were able to provide housing that ultimately resulted in she and her five children being reunited. And so it's just, it's that holistic approach that we don't just do housing. We do housing plus. We don't just give food. We're mindful of those other needs that exist.
Now, Gary, one of those other needs I know that you all have been meeting well and I think growing in your ability to meet is related to healthcare. You know, I came to the conference having worked with Catholic hospitals and nursing homes, institutional ministries like that. But you all have really been able to develop a network, I think, that's really parish-based, that does provide a lot of great care throughout the diocese.
Yeah, we've been very blessed. Thank you for noting that. We have a number of free medical clinics around the diocese. We have a number of free dental clinics now. And we also, in the healthcare services arena, so those are for uninsured and underinsured individuals and families. We've been able to hook to a number of specialists who give their time in their own practice to some of our clients who need that kind of care. We also have behavioral health services. As you know, Michael, that was a program that was closed before I got here, but we've been able to reopen it, and we're a Medicare certified agency now. We've been able to do a lot of virtual counseling with seniors during the pandemic, which has been huge. We also operate an assisted living facility that serves precariously housed and homeless men and women who have had a medical episode that results in a situation, this sounds ludicrous, but where they can't safely be discharged back to the street, but they need follow-up medical care. And so Pathways to Care, started by Father John Blewett about 18 years ago, is still under the purview of Catholic Charities and continues to serve those men and women. And that's under our healthcare arena too. And then we do senior wellness services as well, focusing on nutrition, wellness, and socialization for seniors.
I know you mentioned some of the important outreach to seniors, particularly for behavioral health concerns. I know that throughout the pandemic, there's just been increasing recognition that people's normal coping strategies and mechanisms were certainly challenged. And I think overall, if you had to look across society, overall mental health has probably taken quite a hit. You know, I know that you have, you know, some specially trained and I guess experienced staff who have been taking a lead for that in your agency. It's been great to hear about some of the initiatives that you all have undertaken that way.
Well, thank you. We, you know, one of the things I think I'm really proud of, Michael, from a provincial standpoint with Catholic Charities of Florida, with the seven agencies, six of us were impacted by Hurricane Irma, and the 49 of the 63 counties were declared disaster areas by Governor Scott at the time. And the fact that we were able to come together with the American Red Cross and use Red Cross dollars to provide behavioral health services, counseling, and mental health first aid to anyone who sought that assistance who had been in the county of residence at the time the hurricane moved through, that was a remarkable opportunity for us as a group of agencies. And I think we demonstrated that. You know, as Sister Donna Markham, president of Catholic Charities USA, has said, she wants people to understand that in a time of disaster, there's more than one cross in town, referring to the Red Cross, which we respect for what they do. But the fact that the Catholic Church, very much under the banner of the Catholic Church, Catholic Charities agencies are able to provide remarkable support and assistance to people in need, is something that shouldn't be lost on any of us.
And Gary, as you look forward, you know, from where we are today, what are some of the things that you expect to get involved in and that you see on the horizon, perhaps as new challenges or new opportunities for your agency and just for the Church of Florida?
I think, you know, from a Catholic Charities of Central Florida standpoint, we will continue to focus primarily on housing and the growth of affordable housing. And I think I should clarify, Michael, affordable housing isn't poor housing. Affordable housing is housing that you can afford based on the wage that you earn. We're blessed in Florida to have a quickly rebounding economy. It's doing very well. But there's a reality about the folks who comprise that economy, who drive that economy, and it's tourists. And so the tourism industry is really supporting the economy's growth. And those are still entry-level positions and wages. And so there's a need for housing to support them. And we see that need just continuing to grow. I think I heard that the projection for the Greater Orlando Metropolitan Statistical Area is a projected growth of almost 2 million in the next 10 years. That's some incredible number. And we know housing will be an issue. So we want to be at the forefront of helping to create housing that families can be safe in. When I think about Catholic Charities, and of course, we continue to grow our behavioral health services. When I think about Catholic Charities of Florida, we've had conversations recently about the work that we're all doing in the housing arena. But we've also had conversations about what we think we're capable of doing in disaster recovery and behavioral health. Two separate issues that can become intertwined after a disaster. And so we're trying to figure out what those next iterations of service and harmonization look like across the state. And as you know very well, Michael, we're blessed. The Catholic Charities directors that I am privileged to work with across the state, they're incredible leaders. And the fact that we all do what we do the way we do it, and yet still find time to come together to talk about what we can do across the board, just, I think, speaks really well to the dedication, I'll say, of the Catholic faithful.
Well, great, Gary. It's exciting to know that collaboration's happening and that shared vision is growing, and the obvious shared commitment to address these needs of people in our society, vulnerable folks, people to peripheries. Really, it's always edifying to talk to you and to see the good work that you're about. Well, Gary, anything else you'd like to share with our listeners before we prepare to sign off?
Well, I just appreciate the opportunity to chat with you, Michael. It's always good to catch up. I do want to share with folks that here in Orlando, we also have at Catholic Charities the Culture of Life Office that works very closely with the Florida Conference of Catholic Bishops. And we've been privileged with Bishop Noonan's blessing recently to restore and make as an official ministry of the Diocese of Orlando, Project Rachel and Rachel's Vineyard, which are poster board of healing ministries. And I think with everything we see going on in the world around us today, the fact that we promote life, we do the Walking with Moms in Need efforts here. We serve about 85 to 100 families a week with diapers and supplies, which is helping them to take care of those little ones and move them forward in life. But I think the fact that we've been blessed to do those post-abortive healing ministries, we just completed our first Spanish language retreat weekend and did our first English-speaking retreat weekend last month. And so we're planning 4 to 6 of those retreats a year. And we consider it a blessing. So I would be remiss if I didn't say how proud I am that we've been able to step into that forefront as well.
Congratulations on that, Gary. It's been great to collaborate with that office and your agency there in the diocese. Lady Rivas has been a splendid partner for us, and I know she's been encouraged by your vision for that work and your leadership as well. So,
well, thank you, Mike. We're very blessed to work with you guys, too.
Gary, I want to thank you again, Gary Tester, President of Catholic Charities of Central Florida, for joining us today for this Catholics Across the Aisle podcast. Gary, we continue to wish you well and look forward to continued collaboration.
Thank you, Michael. It's a pleasure working with you, and God bless you.